Shiny Brightly Show. I'm Howard Brown, author, speaker, Silicon Valley entrepreneur, international peacemaker, and yes, two-time stage 4 cancer patient survivor and advocate. Each episode will take you from resilience to hope and a whole lot more, because Shiny Brightly does make the world a better place. Be prepared to be inspired.
Spectacular guest, and today is it's just unbelievable. My good friend Amy Armstrong is here. Hi, Amy, how are you?
Hi, Howard. I'm very well and just really thrilled to be here.
I have to tell you that I met Amy in New York, and her energy is so contagious. I've really gotten to know her over the past year, and you're just such a fantastic friend and a good person and a good, extremely good speaker and also businesswoman. So let me tell people about you, because I need to share you. So Amy Armstrong is a pioneer in bringing innovative conflict resolution practices to the arena of family law and beyond. You've got actually a little bit of a trademark, right? Isn't it from the bedroom to the boardroom to the courtroom?
Actually, exactly reversed.
Oh,
so
tell
you
me what it is.
The right rooms, but so much of what I've learned has come from the courtroom. And now I'm taking it to corporate boardrooms and definitely into the bedroom.
I got to get it straight. So I love
from
that.
The courtroom to the boardroom to the bedroom.
I love it. Oh my God. I got to lead with that on social media. I just happen to love that so much. So anyways, I didn't mean to get off track, but are an innovator when it comes to conflict resolution in the arena of family law and beyond. You're a co-founder of the Center for Family Resolution, CFR, in Columbus, Ohio. You've established a hub for specialized trauma-informed interventions addressing diverse needs in families, businesses, schools, and communities. CFR is a network of professional coaches under your training and guidance, and you navigate complex situations such as divorce, politics, power struggles, co-parenting issues for court-involved families. You have lots of cool, notable presentations, The Paradox of Power, Trauma-Informed Approaches to Conflict Resolution, and you do frequent talks to the Association of Family and Conciliation Courts and the Ohio Supreme Court. Also, one of the things that I love that you do is that you actually work with My Robin, which is the social emotional learning support for professionals and families in the New York City public schools as well. Since 2020, Amy has served as the Director of Education for the Center for Coach Development, preparing professionals to earn credentials with the International Coaching Federation and excel in their chosen field. You do a lot, and you are a grandma of six. And Mary, and you've, it's just amazing. You're here. My first question is, how are you shining brightly? Or what does someone not know about you that you want to share? What are you going to tell us?
Yeah, I'll actually answer both at the same time.
Oh, okay. Double.
Yeah. So what people don't know about me, Howard, is that my shining brightly used to be fake. And it's raw and real now. And so that's how I'm shining brightly, is I'm real. And I did not know how to be real. Howard, I'm not exaggerating. 45 years before I stepped into the arena of real.
Wow. No one's ever answered that question like that to me. And I only know you as authentic, real, and I don't know the other Amy. So why don't we go back and share a little bit of your background? Because I don't even know that Amy.
Well, I love to share it because my power literally came from my story. And Howard, you did meet me at a very real time when I had stepped in to my authentic professional and personal journey. But I did it wrong for so long. I was this kind, caring, nice, nurturing person, right? And really believed in my heart of hearts that to be a good person, it meant to always think about the other guy, always do what would help other people to feel good. And I just completely bypassed my own sense of what was right or true or important to me. So you know, it can be a little bit of a cliche, you know, to put yourself first or take care of yourself first. But I never bought into that because I thought it meant I was putting others second. And what I have come to find out, Howard, is there is no separation. What's good for us is good for the other. And what's good for the other is good for us once we're authentic.
Wow.
Kind of a myth bust. So, we don't have to choose whether we're first or they're first.
Yeah, so I know now I actually understand why we're so aligned and we have so much appreciation for each other, because my wife, you know, said to me when she met me that, you know, Howard, you always give the shirt off your back and you even iron it too, and then you're left without a shirt. So I'm understanding the older Amy now, is mm-hmm. that you become so giving of others is that you neglect yourself. And take me through more of your story there, the background.
Sure, sure. So I took care of an alcoholic mom through my high school years and just felt like it was my job to help bring her comfort. And I wasn't able to do that. So I always felt really down that I wasn't able to really help her fix herself. And then I had a real dependency on my older sister and then on my husband. And I put really my own decision-making on hold and just followed the rules, followed the direction that these folks that I perceived were wiser than I am, just really followed what I thought they wanted me to do or advised me to do. And Howard, I've come such a long way with this because as a coach, I've stepped into this model of really teaching people through my coaching to only follow what is true for them. We just can't make decisions from the outside, right? We get information from the outside, but then we check in with ourselves to see how that information is landing before we make a decision. And I just never knew about that step. So I tried to do what I was, you know, what a good daughter would do for my mom. I tried to do what a good wife would do with my husband. And it was such a disappointment. It was a heartache after a heartache after a heartache because I wasn't there. I was completely abandoning myself and had no idea why I had all this pain in my body. Yeah.
Interesting. Now, you took care of your mom, alcoholic mom. You had some sisters, but you did get married.
I did. I got married to the person I felt secure with him. I didn't feel like myself per se, because I didn't really know what that meant, but I did have a sense of security and that was a real attraction for me. But Howard, after 25 years of marriage, you know, we could not have bombed in a more scandalous, dramatic, just awful way. Our kids were thrown under the bus. You know, both my reputation, my husband's reputation were thrown under the bus. You know, we had been this, you know, upstanding couple in our community. And when our marriage fell apart, it was ugly and embarrassing. And I was really humiliated. And Howard, this sounds like I'm being dramatic, but it's true. I really thought I was going to die because my identity was so wrapped up in this other person that I did not know there was something left or would be something left after the marriage ended. And so my big aha, which I'm still enjoying, literally it's my light today that helps me shine today, is recognizing that people are going to come and go. I get to enjoy lots of people in my life, but there's only one me. And if I don't know me and check in with me and have amazing conversations with me, that's where the problem is. So I'm very, very thankful that the turn of events included some really amazing support people that helped me start to tell the truth. I literally had a friend, Howard, that was so courageous because she could point out some of the ways that I was incongruent, right? She would listen to how I felt, and then she would watch what I did, and she would say, Amy, those two don't go together. And she basically called me out in a loving, way, I had no idea what she was talking about at first, but eventually learned, oh yeah, I need to be true and find a way to say what I have to say that's true, that's still in keeping with my values. And that's literally what I do today as a coach, is I help people identify what's important to them, what their beliefs are, what's true for them, and then make sure that they're congruent with their values.
I love that, because it goes directly, mm-hmm. as I've written in Shining Brightly, about we all get knocked down in life. Some much harder. Listen, I don't wish anyone to get 2 stage 4 cancer diagnosis ever, but I know I can't control that. I don't believe that you ever want and wish anyone to get divorced, but that's just not, it's living in a fantasy land. But we all have to get back up again and use that light, okay? Come from darkness to light. Use that light to lift up ourselves and lift up others, which is my mantra every day. Tell us how you got back up again.
Yeah. Well, may I ask you, in sure. order to answer that question, even when people have cancer diagnoses, there are options and they have to choose what's right for them. And everyone chooses their own way of handling cancer, divorce, whatever comes their way. And we're all learning to expand our comfort zones and finding the right next step, the right treatment, the right support people is key to, and really recognizing how to read our own needs and beliefs and check in with our whole body to see what's going to be right for us. And so I literally started doing that. That was my get up. That's my get up muscle, right? Is checking in and saying, let me think about that for a minute. What do I do want to do this evening? Who do I want to spend my time with? Who do I want to invest in or be a business partner with? And so I've had lots of very dear, special people in my life, and to be able to recognize that I'm choosing how I want to lean in every situation, in every relationship, that's the get up, is making choices that are intentional, that are clear. We're not just, you know, bleeping because something sort of sounds right, right? We're making clear, informed decisions. And that's where our confidence comes from. When people know that they're making a decision based on clarity and a calm body and letting that confidence bubble up, we can feel really good about whatever needs to happen next in our life.
Yeah, I this is what we tell folks that have been knocked down. Okay. And this is what I do in my survivorship coaching practice as well, is that we don't want you to isolate. Okay. Yeah. We want you to actually be selfish in your time of need. And we want you to find a happy place. We want you to go focus on others by lifting up others, the endorphins.
Beautiful.
And we want you to have the mental toughness and the discipline to weed out the negativity, the boundary breakers, the people that are not aligned with what you're doing. And so if you can follow those small steps, you can actually get back up again. So it's really, really good. And go ahead.
Well, I wanted to share my formula for boundaries, because this is one of my sort of signature concepts, Howard, is I noticed what was true for me was that I had trouble setting boundaries because it felt distancing. It felt like I was pushing people away and it was cold and prickly. And I knew that wasn't really me, because I love being connected and kind and close to people. And so even when someone's really done us wrong or mistreated us in some way, we can set boundaries that are about us. I call it pro me, not anti you. So we set a boundary on what we are willing and able to do. We're not telling others what they can do or should do or can't do. So a simple one, let's say my son asked me, he says, Mom, I need a ride home from work. I need you to pick me up at 5:30. Well, and I'm making this up, if I don't get off work till 5:30, I might say, oh, great, I'd love to pick you up. I can be there by 6 o'clock. That's a boundary. That's a no to 5:30. And absolutely, I'd love to support you and be there to pick you up. And here's the time I can be there. So if someone asks us, maybe they need support and we just don't feel willing or able to do exactly what they're asking, make an offer. Say, here's what I can do. And that feels good to both people. It's a boundary that can still leave us feeling very connected.
I think that's great. I love it. The pro me for your boundaries, it's great. I want to get into something because conflict resolution mm-hmm. in relationships, mm-hmm. in business, in life, okay, it's part of people being able to maybe not as effectively communicate, collaborate, and connect. It's just sort of where we are. We get to disagreement, and sometimes it's understood and sometimes it's not. Tell me, you know, you now have, this has become your expertise, mm-hmm. And especially with families, you know, yeah. in sensitive times. So take me through conflict resolution and
sure
how you help people.
Sure. So it takes two to tangle, right? If you're going to have a tangle, both people have to be invested in the tangle. And it takes one person to resolve the conflict, because it's only a conflict if there's stress and tension and frustration and hurt. So a fun story with this is my husband and I are from different sides of the political aisle. And when the political season started heating up for this year, you know, he said, Amy, can we kind of make a deal not to talk about politics? And I said, no, I actually think it's really engaging to talk about politics, but I will promise you, I won't fuss about it, right? So I can guarantee with him that if there's anything that feels like stress or tension, we're going to back off. But it's interesting to engage with someone that I respect, that I care about, that has differences of opinion on certain issues, not everything, but to be able to know that I can actually support him as a person without agreeing with him. And we can engage in a conversation because we have a commitment to not arguing about it. And so it's that sense that there is a big difference between a disagreement and a conflict. A conflict is when we're trying to control the actions or thoughts of another person. And as long as we can check ourselves and recognize, remember, I don't need to control this person. I can control myself. I can choose how and when to engage. Then it doesn't have to be a conflict. Now, some of my very high stakes conflicts that I work with in the court system, a lot of times people put into place ways that they're going to be able to communicate with another professional present. Some people never agree to start having conversations without a professional or at least some third party to support them. That's fine. That's their choice. And other people that I work with, even after domestic violence, even after really high stakes conflicts over money, time, healthcare of the children, etc., they're able to learn to take care of themselves well enough that they can re-engage with that other person.
I love it that it does take two to tangle, and disagreements are okay, but when it gets nasty, that's no fun. It's really no fun, and it's right. Hard.
Well, we have a country that is highly individualistic, and we tend to feel better about ourselves when we're with people that think like we do. And I challenge myself, you, everyone listening, to notice what it does for you when someone agrees with you and recognize that you can get that need met for confidence and security and trust in yourself without needing someone else to agree with you.
I agree. Well, they're going to find out more about you through the show notes and on social media and click and contact you and bring you in as a speaker and as an expert as well. But I want one more thing that brings joy to your life that I know, because you light up when you talk about how that you actually get credentials for coaching development. Tell us a little bit about how you do that.
Yes. So I actually started this company to help other professionals get their International Coaching Federation accreditation. And I did it because so many people admired how I could support people to be in situations where there were disagreements without trying to impose and interfere and sort of insist that someone else does things your way. And that's what we learn in ICF coaching, is that we can really suspend our own judgments and listen to and support another person. It's actually not that easy. It's a little bit of work because, you know, intelligent people have opinions, and it's very easy to try to impose those, even in very well-meaning ways. It's very easy to impose those on other people. And so I started this company to help train other people who are really wanting to be that level of present and effective with other people in their life, whether it's, you know, becoming a professional coach or being better at their job, no matter what they're doing, or just being more effective in all their relationships.
That's awesome. It's really exciting. We were talking in the green room and I shared with you that, I was actually, we had a diplomatic interfaith Seder the other night, and I started my presentation by just looking in awe of the room and of how we gathered, because the world is a difficult place right now, and mm-hmm. people have very definitive, you know, opinions, and I actually call it hate. There's people are choosing to be hateful through their words and through their action. And I just saw awe in the room when I had diplomats from 11 different countries and had Muslim, Hindu, Christian, Catholic, and other and Jewish leaders all together, okay, for a common purpose. And that's the remarkable work that that we can do and can be capable of. And I actually have a discussion resource guide about interfaith relations, but I know that I was sharing that with you, and I just I try to put it to use. The things that I learned from Amy and the things that you teach. So it's I am the student a little bit as well. So I just it's important, okay, to be authentic and intentional, but it's also important to be truthful. And I go back to what you first said, is being true to yourself. And that is a big takeaway for me today. So I appreciate that. Can we do the Shining Brightly Spotlight? Do you have some sunglasses for me?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's put them on. All right. We are shining brightly spotlight on you. Okay, Amy Armstrong, tell people how they can get in touch with you, and then share a little inspiration with me.
Sure. I have a personal LinkedIn page that is Amy Armstrong Coach. I do lots of conflict videos on TikTok under Amy Armstrong Conflict Free. And I'd love for folks to check out my website at thecenterforfamilyresolution.com.
And I heard you might have a special gift coming.
I sure do. Oh, gosh. So I love this gift, Howard, because people love quizzes, right? We've all had plenty of experience with conflict. And this quiz helps you really identify where you're coming from with conflict, a little bit of what you're afraid of, and what's going to really help you bring out your best in times of conflict.
Excellent. So we'll put the links to that quiz all over the place. So that's a nice gift for you. So thank you. All right. I'm going to take off my glasses because I want to hear. You can take yours off if you want. And let's share with me some inspiration, and then kick it over to me and I'll close out the show.
Sure. Howard, everyone wants to tell the truth, and it takes courage. So my inspiration today is find one person that you can make eye contact, lean in just a little bit, and say something that makes you a little bit afraid. Have the courage to expand your comfort zone and try it out. Be kind, be gentle, and be truthful.
Wow. Wow. Sage wisdom. Thank you for that inspiration. I really appreciate it. Well, this has been an amazing episode. I want to give thanks a little bit to some of the people that got me here. So my publishing house, Front End Publishing, readthespirit.com, that's my weekly blog, and also the podcast group that just is amazing, which is Amplify You Network. You can reach me at shiningbrightly.com. It has the book. It has how to actually look and bring me on for a speaking event to make your event shine. It also has this podcast, but more importantly, it has my advocacy of what I try to do in the cancer world, what I do in the mentorship and entrepreneurship world, and also in the interfaith world. And so that's really what helps define me. And remember, if we shine brightly just a little bit each day for ourselves, for others, in our neighborhoods, communities, the world will become a better place.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Shining Brightly with me, Howard Brown. Come interact with me at shiningbrightly.com. And remember, keep on shining.